This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, it's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. The top stories that have been developing all day long is what we hit you with every day at 2. A reminder to get on to 105throughthefan.com/Sandlot. That's a big one right there. Jared Sandler's annual event. You can bid on our bay at Top Golf. Taylor Hearn and Darren Oliver are going to be there. And plus, we have a dinner at Bob's Steak and Chop House that you can bid on. Or just buy it outright. We want to see you, though. We'd like to hang out with you, and let's help Jared along the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, buddy. We want to beat K&C. I think they got $600 for their bay, so we want to get to about 15 grand.
Okay, let's have what you should call. Do you want to call and bid, or do you go online? Because I heard K&C say you could call. Let's not hassle Lucius, though. He's a busy man back there in the pimp cup.
No, you're good, man. I need somebody to talk to. Come on, call me up.
Call Lucius and bid on the bay.
Put your bid in.
What is the current bid? $0?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, just put your bid in. We want to beat K&C. I like that right there.
Just call Lucius and talk to him.
Yeah, no, don't clog up the phone lines. Look,
I have my own radio.
See how long you can keep Lucius on thinking you're going to bid on
something. I have my own radio show on the phones, like the ladies, man. Me and you can talk.
Also, don't bid $1, because then we'll have to say it's $1, and somebody you come in, call in and bid $2, and then
to 700.
We're not trying to have Lucius have to scratch through every individual number up to 50 grand where we're going to end up.
Yeah, the top bid $650. We're looking for 700. We got 700 out there at 877-881-1053. We got a packed show. Holy cow. We're so excited to do the video today. Usually I just focus on one of the teams, but I just spread it out over all three teams, and we'll start here with the baseball. Do we have legit Anthony Rendon news? Last night, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, tweeting that multiple sources at the winter meetings are insisting that the Rangers are the favorite to get him. He's a Texan. He's a Texan?
He's a what?
He's a Texan.
Yeah, from the Houston area.
And he's a World Series champion.
And obviously, Houston is no-go. I will say this. Talking to a Washington Nationals person today, they are worried and concerned about Anthony Rendon not coming back. Here's the main reason. The Nationals are trying to get him to sign a big, huge contract with deferred money. They like doing their contracts with deferred money. Scherzer has deferred money. Patrick Corbin has deferred money. This is the way that they sign these huge contracts. Rendon is saying, no, I'm not doing any deferred money. I'm not doing $220 million with $50 million of it deferred over 5 years after the contract is over. The money is going to be, if it's 7 years, then it's I get paid all the money in 7 years.
Cash flow issues, you need not apply.
Yeah, so that is one thing that I do know, is that it's going to be very tough to convince Anthony Rendon, if you'd like to do some sort of contract where you actually pay it over 10 years, but the contract is a 6 or 7 year contract, he doesn't seem willing to do that. And because of that, it's worrying the Washington Nationals that they're not going to be able to retain him. So that means maybe the door is open for the Texas Rangers. Here's another deal. He does not like talking to the media at all. He's not like Lance Lynn.
Yes!
He hates the media, but he doesn't want to do media interviews at all. So he'd rather just play baseball and never talk to the media. So places like New York or L.A., like the Dodgers, are really interested. He's not really interested in the Dodgers from what I get, because there's a lot of publicity with the Dodgers. He's like, I just want to play baseball. Yeah. You ask me a question there, like, it's funny because, like, if you ask him a question about how he's doing or MVP or anything, he's like, Juan Soto's doing great. Our pitching is awesome. Like, he just, like, I'll kind of answer the question, but I really don't want to answer it. Nothing about me, and I don't even really want to do this. Not that he's, from what I understand, not a bad guy. It's just that he doesn't want to do interviews and he doesn't want to talk about himself. He's also a guy that I found out, you might get him on a 5-year contract and not have to go like a 7-year contract. He probably wants to retire within 5 years.
Wow.
So he doesn't want to play a long time.
Huh.
So this could be good for the Rangers in, like, hey, you could offer him a lot of money in a 5-year contract and not be like, hey, you know, we might have to go 7 to win this or whatever. He might actually sign a 5-year contract over a 7-year contract with less money overall, but more money per year. And then 5 years from now, just say, look, I made it. I'm retiring. He loves playing baseball. He's great at it, but he doesn't really care to do it until he's 40 years old.
He doesn't want to go on a marathon career.
He's just like, look, I play five more years. If I make $30 to $35 million in those 5 years, he's good and he'll be done. So maybe that helps out the Texas Rangers that you don't have to go to possibly 6 or 7 years. You can overload a 5-year contract.
Would, if you manage to get Anthony Rendon, and I'm going to go on record here of saying that I believe I'm about to get my hopes up just to have him crushed, and that the fact that the Rangers' name is in the headlines means that he will go back to Washington and they're just using the Rangers to drive the price up. But if you got Anthony Rendon and your Rangers ownership, because I don't know their mindset, but your Rangers ownership, are you now tempted to now spend even more? Because you think, we just got an MVP candidate. We already added a guy to almost fill our rotation. Let's go. Let's go.
I would say if you get Anthony Rendon, you're done with conversations on Lance Lynn and Mike Minor trading them. If Anthony Rendon says yes to you, you are now having zero conversations about actually trading good pitchers away to add to the future of the team. You're like, okay, we got Anthony Rendon. Now can we add, to me, I don't say logical, but if you went and got Zach Wheeler, that would make me really interested to see where this team could, what it could do in 2020. Because now I have a good rotation. I have an MVP in the middle of my lineup. I'm hoping that Joey Gallo can stay healthy and do what he did for 140 games instead of just 70 games. We don't know if he can, but I hope that he can. Can Willie Calhoun improve on how great he was in the second half of the season? Can Nick Solak jump in and be your third or fourth best hitter in your lineup? Where he plays, I have no clue. At that point, you know, in the next week or so, I think you have to move Nomar Mazara. I just don't see how Nomar Mazara is on this team next year with Nick Solak and Willie Calhoun being your left fielders. That means Joey Gallo has to move somewhere, and he doesn't want to move to third base. He's 100% off of third base. He doesn't want to be a first baseman, and right field is already taken up by Nomar and Sinsu Chu, so I don't know what to do if I keep Nomar on the team.
Oh, we're about to get busy.
Whatever the case, it's a really fun story now for the Rangers offseason, and it's a shot of tremendous bolt of excitement through the fan base. And we're here for you on your home of the Rangers. We'll be talking about it throughout the day and monitor it throughout the winter meetings and probably much longer. Rendon probably won't come to a decision anytime in 2019, do you think? Or
I don't know.
Okay.
He's a different – from what I got, just to be general about it, he's a different guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks like Curly Bill from Tombstone. I like him. He's a bad guy. Mike said he wasn't a bad guy, but if you were going for Houston in the World Series, he was a bad guy because that dude ripped your heart out.
Yeah. Curly Bill. You know, when I read that, I think it was with Evan Grant, 6-180 could get it done, I was like, man, that seems like the kind of deal that for a Rangers fan, you got to love because you don't have to deal with the back half of the 30s where you're like, crap, okay, we get 5 good years, but then he gets old and we got to pay him for 3 more years. I want nothing to do with those kind of deals.
Listen, Rangers, I would be surprised if it was that low.
Your team's not that good right now. Offer him 6-180 and 2% of the team. Let's go. Is that legal?
6-200, maybe? 33.5 million?
I wonder if you can offer ownership stake. I don't think you can. I don't think you can have ownership stake and be a player.
Our team's not that good. Have a piece of the team. Give him part of concessions. Just listen. Do what you got to do. Get it done.
He develops a beef product, and they have Nolan Ryan beef. And
wasn't Mark Cuban Rendon trying to hook Dirk up with some ownership?
Yeah,
something like that.
But he had to talk about it. Where he's like, "Well, it's not exactly legal. I can't gift it to him."
While he was still on the court playing.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
He also had Tony Romo suit out for a game too. So. Well,
he would have made that happen. I think that
he also needed an extra $200,000 to offer Dwight Howard the max instead of taking the Greek Freak. So
it is a Mavs game night, and we can talk about that. They're visiting a bad Pelicans team, 6-14. There's even worse news for them, though, is Zion Williamson is still not playing. They said he'd be back after 6 weeks. He's not even begun on-court work with the Pelicans, so they're kind of nervous down there in New Orleans. The coach, Alvin Gentry, is trying to put a good face on things, saying they're just being overly cautious and all that, but it's close. I'd be in a full-blown panic if I was a Pelicans fan.
I'll say this. Going to New Orleans a few weeks ago, there is a lot of Zion gear there. So a lot of things, it's not even Pelicans. It's just Zion. So, I mean, they're selling the heck out of Zion there. But he's eating the heck out of New Orleans.
I don't know
if you've seen pictures of him.
Well,
but he was a heavy guy when he came into the league in the draft. Only Boban was a heavier person in the NBA, and Boban's 7 inches taller. And they are saying he's having problems with his weight while he can't do any cardio things with his legs because of the injury. So I don't know if he's enjoying the New Orleans fried food.
Has
or
everyone
what.
Here been to New Orleans?
Yeah.
Did you come back lighter?
No.
No, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Well, if LeBron's the king, maybe Zion's the king cake.
I got you.
New Orleans?
Yeah. Like and you got to find
Damn,
the baby.
That's my bad.
No, you're good.
I don't get it. What's it?
It's the beginning. It's the first segment.
The baby's in the king cake, right?
Whoever gets the baby.
What's king cake?
It's that it's like that yellow and purple cake thing that's so delicious. It's got lots of sugar on it.
It's during whatever it is. When is
Mardi
it?
Gras.
Mardi Gras, yeah.
Learn something
Mardi
today. Gras. How about that?
You did, man. Eat it up. It's
You've never seen those
Well, you're
at
not
the grocery
a big sweets
store?
Guy.
I'm not a big sweets guy. Yeah. I find out every time that I eat sweets that I do like them. Yeah. But fortunately, I'm not drawn to them.
Yeah. Okay, one of the most interesting things we've heard about Chris Peterson, a friend of ours told us that he left the University of Washington because he didn't want to do all the extra stuff that goes with coaching in college, like the fundraising and the meeting alumni who are all giddy. Oh, hey, coach, how you doing? You know, and you have
Make
dinner
sure
with
play
these guys.
With me this weekend, coach.
Yeah, and you're like, and I'll see you at the banquet. You know, I guess for some people, I bet like for Barry Switzer, he was in his element. He was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I just play golf with guys and go drink beer at banquets. This is amazing. Well, for some guys, and I guess Chris Peterson is one of those, he's like, nah, man, this is not really what I was, you know, excited to do. At Boise, he was sheltered from a lot of it. At the University of Washington, he's subjected to it. So he could retire, he could go back to mid-majoring, or he could go to the NFL. It sounds like a guy who might be preparing himself to be available for all of the NFL jobs that are going to be coming available over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, one of them became available 120 seconds ago. The Panthers just fired Ron Rivera.
Oh, wow.
So there's one NFL job open. But,
okay.
So, yeah, Chris Peterson...
I wonder if Chris Peterson had his choice between the Eagles and Cowboys, because I think there's a good chance that both those jobs are open this offseason. I wonder what coaches would prefer. A team that just won a Super Bowl,
well,
or a team that you might say has more talent. I don't know if the Cowboys have any more talent. They're both the same. But I just wonder if you're a coach, and we'll never know, do they find the Eagles job more attractive or the Cowboys job more attractive?
Well, in his case... I don't want to say this because I know that the Cowboys have an affinity for Chris Peterson. I know that they like him. They like a lot of his players. That's why they ended up with so many of his players. I know that they like him. So, but if he doesn't like all the glad handing and all that stuff that goes into being a Power 5 football coach, how do you feel about, listen, Cowboys got their coach doing that too. I promise you. You're going to banquets and sponsor events and all
Duke
these.
Duke basketball games.
Well, I don't think you have to go to the Duke basketball game.
There's some of that, yeah.
Yeah, not to the level of college where you've got 500 different boosters.
You got to sit front row at the World Series during an off day.
It's an interesting point. How does the Cowboys job compare with the ancillary stuff that kind of goes along with it that maybe you wouldn't have to do elsewhere? And if, you know, a guy is averse to it. To answer your question objectively, Mike, you have the fan base in Philadelphia that can rip a team apart. It really can. It puts pressure. And I think there's pitfalls for the Cowboys as well. And maybe both of those kind of work against the team. But I'll tell you what, that Eagles front office, Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, they are tireless in their pursuit of finding advantages. And I hate to admit it, but objectively, I think they're better at problem solving. I do, and I think they're more open-minded, and I think that adaptability is more important. So I wouldn't want to live in Philadelphia. I wouldn't want to be associated with that fan base. But if you're just analyzing how the football programs run, I think you'd give advantage Eagles.
But if you're looking at the organizations and you're saying they both have their quarterback for the next 10 years, which one do you want to coach?
I want to coach Dak.
Hey, yeah, now.
Absolutely.
Hey, now.
Yeah, if it's that part of the evaluation, then surely I think the Cowboys are in a better spot. Durability and leadership. You know, there's a bunch of people in the Philadelphia organization that just don't think Carson Wentz has what it takes to lead a group of guys.
Is this the biggest coaching search that's ever gone on while you still have a coach?
Rappo.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
that's Dave Campo.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I mean, Rappaport's talking about Lincoln Riley and Chris Peterson speculation, and the coach is still here.
Yeah, and I do think it would be crazy if the Cowboys had already talked to him and been like, yeah, you're going to be our coach, and that's why he quit. That no way it happened, right? Because
agreed.
Jerry's still pulling for Jason in a major, major way.
I would assume if you could, in 2003, if I have my year right, or 2002, if they could already know where Jerry's private plane was and already meeting with Bill Parcells before the season was over,
they would have
heard about somehow Jerry Jones flying up to Washington and meeting with Chris Peterson if it had happened.
Yeah, I think Chris is just stepping away because he knows he's not going to coach anymore and he wants to see what opportunities come up. And maybe there's been a, well, shoot, you know, we'd like to interview you if it doesn't work out for our guy. But I would be shocked if it went any farther than that. I mean, there's a bunch of good names to look at, and, you know, there's Ian Rappaport's report. Did he expressly say that the Cowboys think Lincoln Riley is their guy? It was just kind of a couple of different ideas were combined
the
together.
The linking of here's why he would be a candidate.
Yeah.
Because they know him, and he's been in Stephen Jones' living room.
Yeah.
Right? And that makes sense. That And you did an on-campus visit, so they have a relationship with Lincoln Riley. And obviously, college is becoming a big part of NFL offense, and he's about as good as it gets at it. So it makes a lot of sense that he'll be one of the guys that they'll call. And because of the Cowboys, Lincoln Riley will get a giant raise from Oklahoma to stay there, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay, Monday Night Football, Seahawks, 10 points at the half, 27 points in the second half. They win 37-30.
Russ is really good.
Against Minnesota. And yes, Russell Wilson is great. They force turnovers. They're making it happen. And now they have a chance to beat San Francisco at home in a couple of weeks to lock that in. So now a potential massively historic rivalry coming to town for wild card weekend with the San Francisco 49ers.
Put us out of our misery.
Woo! That's heavy, isn't it? What kind of a game would you expect? A blowout? Or
Something like 27-17 49ers would be my initial guess.
Honestly, 30-10.
Yeah, 30-10. I mean,
I just saw Buffalo just wipe the floor with us, and I think San Francisco is better than Buffalo.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I want to believe the Cowboys could come up with some sort of an inspired effort, but at that point they could be 8-8, 9-7, hell, even 7-9 and win the division. And I did see that graphic where Washington could still win the division if the Cowboys lose out.
That's my hope.
At 6-10.
Yeah. Or I think Washington would be 7-9.
Oh, okay. That'd be impressive.
Because I don't think they could win any tiebreakers.
Right now. Okay.
Okay, Jerry Jones on the lame duck dynamic. Has it contributed to the disappointment, or is it overblown? That's next in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, is Jerry just defending his previous decisions here, or does he have a great point about his lame duck coach? Segment is brought to you by Hover Helmets, Autoflex Leasing, by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. A guy, Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo. Rubin and Associates. All right. We got a nice little Tolo Tuesday going on here. Working our way towards this game against Chicago. Four games left, potentially, of Jay Jeezy's coaching career. Five if they make the playoffs. And that's an if. I'm not sure. But take a listen to this cut here. And you tell me, cut two, Lucius. They asked him, do you worry about a lame duck coach affecting the team mentality?
There's too much that goes into this thing. We have a way of looking at these psychological things as being impactful. At the end of the day, you can dissect the Cowboys and you can technically see why we don't win games when we thought we would win them. And that far exceeds any thought about well, you've said the wrong thing, or the wrong thing has been wrong message is being spent. Now, that's just not as impactful as a lot of people would like for it to be.
Okay, so you know, I think it's a great point by Jerry Jones. He's probably listening to the G-Bag Nation at times and thinking, man, you guys are putting way too much into those kinds of discussions. But you know, he says you can dissect the Cowboys and technically see the reason that the Cowboys are losing games. And you know, I don't know how you can totally and completely just extricate that from the idea that maybe the players aren't as motivated because they know the head coach isn't going to be around for long and you're really the authority figure on the organization. But, you know, I do believe in the point in the NFL is very, very true that the game is so violent, you can't go out there and be given anything less than 100%. Or you're just going to get your D knocked right in the dirt. And I also think
I disagree. Okay. I don't think they – well, I won't say that they're not trying. I have kind of said it that far. But I think they get discouraged easy, and their heart isn't in it. So I think it's two different things. I don't think – for some – I'm surprised. Their heart's not in this season. That's what Michael Bennett was calling them out for. Like,
so
your sacrifice to each other and to yourself to be the best you can be is not there this year.
Point taken. Do you think it's because of the lame duck or other reasons?
It's a great question. I think part of it is that part of it might be that they're tired of playing for Jason Garrett.
Hmm.
I don't know if lame duckness has anything to do with it, but they know that Jason Garrett most likely, if they don't turn it around, as in get to the NFC Championship game, that he's not going to be the coach next year. And I don't think that they're rallying around that at all. I don't think that they're hoping that Jason Garrett gets fired, but I don't think they're rallying around a guy that they care to, like, we have to have him here next year.
Okay, then what about the idea that just as a lame duck, you know, you are feeling less obligated or less involved? Because the organization gave you no vote of confidence. You might be thinking Giants already. Has the lame duck taken Jason out of a place where he could connect with the guys because he's just a little bit disengaged?
I think that's feasible. Yeah, that's feasible, because every time that Jerry talks, like today with Sean and RJ, did the radio.com rewind this morning, and I listened to
Magical, isn't it?
It is so magical. Talk to Jerry Jones, and like he referenced the young coaches, Colombo and Kellen Moore, and he was like saying, make no mistake, that was me. I made this coaching staff younger. He's essentially saying my head coach had no say in the matter of who's on this coaching staff. I did.
Yeah.
And like, there's all these little things where it's like, let me just chisel away a little bit more of your authority there. There you go. And he'll portray it as everything's great. We love Jason. He's the best. But his actions say, I needed other people to do more because he wasn't doing a good enough job. It's like, I don't like that he said, like, we put too much into the psychology. Like, that's not important. That's incredibly important. Mm. It's incredibly important that your players are as well prepared and as, like, not even just to play, but to practice. Like, how prepared am I to be focused? How prepared am I to take in everything I'm going to get? Like, it takes special people to be great head coaches, because it does take the ability to be able to motivate all these different people from different backgrounds that are all, like, you got to be able to connect with all these different people. And maybe in his case, you don't, because he's not the offensive coach or the defensive coach. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't matter.
Well,
but, like, to me, I think the psychology of sports is very important. But I also take issue with this. When you say there are technical reasons, absolutely, there are technical reasons that they're losing all these football games. You can point to the drives and the times and the kickoff coverage and the punt coverage, and the linebackers here and the run blocking here, and you can point to all these different things. But unless you're ready to say this team has bad or average talent, then you shouldn't be pointing to all these technical things, because you should be better prepared than to have all these technical errors. So it all comes back to, okay, whichever way you want to point it,
yeah,
you want to use the generic term execution, you want to say technical things, that's fine. But the more technical things and the more execution errors, the less prepared you were. And who are you prepared by?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Players have to be accountable for themselves as well. But the coaches are the ones who decide what we're doing with every minute of every day that we practice and set the tone for that. So if you're getting out-technicaled, it still comes back to the same place.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jerry made some good points. And maybe at times we do assign too much value and we should pay attention to what's happening on the field a little bit more. But I also felt like he was almost dismissing it as a way of defending his decision to create the very lame duck situation.
Yeah. And I like the lame duck thing. I do agree with him that it's probably overstated if you think it's really important about a coach's contract status, because players, if you're being honest with yourself, they're mostly not playing for their coach. They're playing for themselves, because this is their career. This is their job. It's their livelihood. It's their next contract. Sure, there are guys who are set for life. The majority of your roster needs to perform well to stay employed in the league. They have to put out good tape every week. That's motivating enough in itself.
I would think so.
Your guy who's roster number 28 is not like, you know, Jason Garrett is the head coach. Don't think I'm going to be getting off blocks this week. Not my guy.
Whew. And, man, there is some bad, bad not getting off blocks going on.
Yeah.
Just completely consumed. And I think we've reached another point in the Jalen Smith story where it's time for him to kind of reinvent it again, because I think teams have scouted him. They know what he struggles with, and it's consistently happening in a way that makes him a pretty much non-factor against the run in a lot of occasions.
And I think the team's built in a way that do him no favors. So it's all very strange the way it works together, right? Jalen Smith has a limitation when it comes to his game. It's the reason that they prefer him pass rushing to dropping into coverage. there's reasons they ask him to do the things that they ask him to do, yet they've rewarded him with a really big contract, which is great for the guy because we love the guy, and I hope he sells tons of sunglasses. But you also have a guy that with those limitations is going to need some help if you want him to be effective, because when you get him running downhill and a running back has the hole he's going to and Jalen is diagnosed to play and he's on the fly, he's going to lay a lick on that dude. He might force a fumble. Like, there are the very, very positive elements of it. But you don't have it right schematically in front of him. You don't invest in the personnel on that defensive line to give him a chance to make those plays. So, okay, here's my linebacker who Belichick was talking about this other day. It was about the next man up theory. I'm not just going to plug a guy in. I'm going to say, what did we lose and how are we going to compensate for that job? Mm. This player will stand there, but how are we going to work things around that to make sure that everything works?
That's so stupid.
In the case of Jalen Smith, he's a talented player. He can be a quality starting linebacker. Some of the best things he does is run straight, hit hard, run fast. This is Jalen Smith. He's a cyborg. If you get him running cleanly to hit a running back, he'll do it really well. Yet your defensive line is taut and the personnel's not that good, just get upfield. So now offensive linemen get cleanly to Jalen Smith at will by design, by your defense, to his limitation. It's like, what? That doesn't all marry together right.
Yeah.
We're not doing this right.
Yeah. I think you tied it together perfectly there, Jeff.
Thank you.
Explained it well. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on a Swinging for a Cause Tuesday. I see our dinner at Bob's Steak and Chop House is at $600. You go to 105throughthefan.com Sandlot to bid on an item or our golf bay. You can golf with J.J. Barea. You can get all kinds of autographed baseballs, man. It's like he's networked or something down there next to the clubhouses.
It's like he's at all the Ranger games.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for the G-Bag of the day, though. The best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best, and that is your G-Bag of the day. Okay, Lucius, and who's the champion?
You guys are doing great, by the way.
Thank you.
You guys are doing great. You're killing it. You're going to be stars out here.
Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah. For that vote of confidence.
There we Thanks, go. Man.
Doing good, dog.
Thank you.
Let's see. Luka pulling up on the King James.
Luka against LeBron. Step back three. Bullseye. Luka against LeBron. He nails it.
Oh, that was so good. Yeah, it's very rare that a play-by-play cut will become G-Bag of the Day, but that seemed iconic, didn't it?
I have to go to the bathroom. I did it again.
Oh, Mike! First time since you were 18? That story?
I did it again. Hey, let me see your hands, man. Put your hands up, brother. Yeah. Don't touch anything around there. I got some wipes, cuz.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at this. The G-Bag of the Day getting Mike all excited in studio. I thought for a second you had a cramp there, but it was something altogether different. Okay, who's challenging?
All right, it's a stand-up comedian. We haven't had one of those guys in a long time actually doing stand-up comedy. So there's a guy named Jay Whittaker. I've never heard of him.
You sure that's not Whittaker?
He said Whittaker.
Okay.
I think it's Witten. Is the guy really slow? Are you still trying to play in the NFL?
Come on, fam.
Do you still think we're doing a great job?
No, you're doing great, man. You're going to be stars out here. Oh, my God. The ratings are just going through the roof.
Yeah.
All right. So this guy right here is worried about Lil Wayne, and he's sick of rappers with their braggadocious lyrics.
You got to listen to his lyrics. Something is wrong with Lil Wayne. He's crying out for help. Something is wrong with his physical health. He's giving you hints in his song. One lyric, he says, I got a big house hallways. I got 10 bathrooms. I could crap all day.
Yep.
Really? That's what you want to do with all that money? Just sit back and eat burritos and cold pizza and just need to get a bottle of KO Pectate. What's wrong with you, Lil Wayne? What's wrong? All these rappers bragging about their lifestyle and what kind of cars they drive. Bugattis and Aston Martins. If I was a rapper, I'd rap about what I drive. I drive a 2008 Ford Escape. It's pleasant. I'd be like, I'm on that mid-size SUV swag. 5-star safety rating with 7 airbags. Just picked up my dry cleaner, put it on the hanger, put some more John Mayer, my 6-disc CD change. You didn't know I liked John Mayer, did y'all? Yeah.
Your body is a wonderland.
Whittaker. Pretty good stand-up comedy there.
Decent. He's decent right there.
Okay, I could see that getting a vote or two for sure.
Okay.
Might be enough to win. Who else is challenging?
This is real fast right here. Reminds me of Christian Bale. Remember he got upset at the light man? on Christian Bale. Yeah, Batman. Yeah. I think they were shooting Terminator or something like that, and he got upset at the light, man, and started going all the way off.
I could see that.
It was really good. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and watch it. It's inspirational. This right here is a light man versus an actor on the set. It's real fast.
Hey, I've got my freaking reflector here. I'm trying to do my job, man.
That's fine. You can do your job, but just if you're going to confront me or disagree with me, don't do it in front
of me. Oh, I didn't know the actors were the most important people on set.
You're undermining everything I'm doing. You're undermining everything I do.
Well, you get no more light.
No more lights, bro. Well, you get no more lights.
Sound like Paul Rudd.
You get no more lights.
Oh, man. What a lame job.
Right? Enjoy your movie in the dark,
yeah,
idiot.
You get no more lights, bro.
See how that works out for you.
What job would you have a more difficult time looking yourself in the mirror in? That paparazzi job or the tow truck drivers that tow people's rides? You know?
Oh, man, those tow truck drivers are awful.
Yeah.
Depends.
There's one that was putting up signs. Like, he had signs in the back of his car, put it up there, tow car, and keep it right there as if the sign was there before. Oh, my gosh!
He's got to stop by the printing press before he pulls into a shift for work.
I support the tow truck driver that you call when your car breaks down.
AAA.
But the one who's got scouts in the apartment complex just looking for people to mess up, getting
texts. Predatory. It's predatory right there.
Got a problem with that.
Can't agree with you. Okay.
Can I do one more? I know we're up against it, but I wanted to do this yesterday, and we're still losing heat on it. This is Mike Leach. Did you know he lit up a columnist after the Friday?
Oh, yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah, a little bit of it. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's let everybody else hear. How about it?
Yeah.
Well, it's frustrating. I do find this part of it interesting, though. I mean, as fast as you guys rank their recruiting class, you know, in the top 10, and then you're always surprised when they win. So I think that, you know, maybe that would have a little something to do with it.
So you're not supposed to beat teams that have higher ranked recruiting classes?
Well, we certainly have before. We didn't win this one, and I don't care to have a big discussion with you on it because I really don't care what you think.
How about it?
Ooh.
You know, and you run your mouth and your little old column and stuff like...
What?
Some sanctimonious troll, and where, you know, you've never been fair or even handed with us, so I really don't care what you think.
How about it, bro?
Okay, go ahead, because you're going to write some nasty stuff anyway, like you always do, and I don't know which coug way back when did something that offended you, and I really don't care about that either, but you can live your little meager life in your little hole and write nasty things, and if that makes you feel even, you go right ahead. Okay, next.
Next question, bro! Next question!
Mike Leach, our final G-Bag of the Day that nominee for Tuesday here on The Fan. Is it Luka? Is it Whit Taker? Is it Christian Bale? Or is it Washington State coach Mike Leach?
Texas Tech all the way.
Yeah, I'm riding with Leach, man.
Mike Leach.
It's 4-0.
Shout out to Marcus Sharpshire playing for Leach.
Unanimous, your new G-Bag of the Day. He is Mike Leach. G-bagging some steak at Bob's Steak and Chop House. They bid for that $600. I don't see where you can bid on our bay, though. I got to tell you. Is that in a separate spot? Because I'm at 105thefan.com/sandlot. And
just
I'm looking,
call me.
Okay, call Lucius just and call. Bid on this
it
bay.
It might be just calling.
You're just call, man.
I don't know. I think it goes, it's today. Only okay.
Right after Lucius
on our
said
show,
we're doing a good job.
Yeah, man. Just
I
call
think,
me.
But I don't know.
It's all this week on our show.
If you need someone to talk to, someone to love you, call me.
Call Lucius and bid on this, babe. We got to make sure it's at least $500. Okay, so get it in there. We don't want to be embarrassed. You can, by the way, bid on all kinds of cool stuff like that dinner with us at the steakhouse or a pitching lesson from Mikey B. You can get baseball instruction from David Murphy. There's all kinds of autographed baseballs. And we're coming back with something Mike has prepared for us to talk about.
Would the Spurs trade with the Mavericks?
Dallas Truck World has over 800 pre-owned trucks, SUVs, and cars to choose from. They all come with a 7-day return policy for your peace of mind. Check out DallasTruckWorld.com.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here. What are we going to talk about now, Mike?
We're going to talk about the San Antonio Spurs. They're off to a bad start, and honestly, if you're a Spurs fan out there, it looks like it's over, and you're going to have to start rebuilding. Maybe you want to fight for the eighth spot, but what would be smart if you were the Spurs is to start over, start a process where you have to find the next Luka Doncic, and you guys have been the most lucky organization in the NBA in the last 40 years with David Robinson and Tim Duncan. So, yes, you added to those people, and Pop is one of the best coaches ever, but you have to get lucky in the lottery. The Mavericks somewhat did by trading for Luka, and so the next 10 to 20 years looks great for the Mavericks. The Spurs need to find their next Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Luka, however you want to put it. They're in big trouble, so Hoops Hype went and spoke to executives on other teams, and they said, what would the value be for LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan right now? And then I'd ask this question to Spurs fans and Maverick fans. Do you think the Spurs would trade to the Mavs if the best offer they had for one of those players was from the Mavs? Or do you think that they would be like, nah, you know what, we'd rather send them to, I'm just going to throw out the Atlanta Hawks. I know that's not the, but we'd rather send them to another team than to the Dallas Mavericks and help you guys out.
Yeah, if you know, if all things were equal, I think they'd rather trade him to the East or something, or at least out of the division. But I think the Spurs are a secure enough organization. They have enough skins on the wall that if the Mavs made the best offer, they would take that. I don't think they would get too worried about rivalries and stuff.
Especially because it feels like if you're talking about those guys, that they're good enough that your return is not going to be insignificant. So, like, if they were trading like a spare part, and the return, then maybe you would look at it and be like, okay, we got to go through this team. They're in the division. We got to do that. But if you're talking about we have to rebuild our team, then I think you want the most you can get, no matter what.
And they're not dealing true superstars. You know, you're not giving the Mavs somebody that's like, holy cow, this is going to be a problem for the next 8 years.
Okay, this is interesting because league executives told Hoops Hype, Frank Urbina, that neither one of those players should draw two major assets. You're probably only looking at having to trade one major asset, and that would be a good young player in the NBA right now or a future first-round draft pick. But to get a really good player already in the NBA who's young and then also to get a draft pick on that, a first-round draft pick, they said that is unlikely with where LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan are with their career and their contracts. So I'm going to start with LaMarcus Aldridge. First, I'll ask you guys this question. Do you have any interest in making LaMarcus Aldridge the second/third player on this team?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? I mean,
he's averaging,
how do you get him?
Right now, 19 points, 6.7 rebounds. That's the second lowest of his career. 2.5 assists and 1.8 blocks, which is a career high.
Can he
right
shoot
now,
the three?
Yeah, he is a 35.5% three-point shooter this year.
That works.
He ranks 33rd overall in value over replacement in the NBA. So I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all, but he's ranked as approximately the 33rd best player in the NBA right now through almost 20 games. Now, this is another executive talked about LaMarcus Aldridge. With his deteriorating athletic ability, they're saying that he's pretty much now just a center. That trying to play him at the four spot, I know we call it the power forward spot, but really it's stretch four, which the NBA has gone to, is he's not athletic enough to play that position in the NBA anymore. So if you're trading for him, at least one executive in the Hoops Hype article said, you're really trading for a center. Don't expect to get some sort of athletic combo type of big guy at this point in his career.
Yeah, but, you know, I just think as a scorer, whether it's rolling to the basket or, you know, finding a spot, he's got plenty of athleticism and plenty of skill set left for that.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a softer big, and, you know, I don't mean that any disrespect. It's just his playing style.
Yeah.
I know he's from around here and probably has friends and family in the listening audience here, so I don't mean to fire shots at LaMarcus Aldridge, but that's been kind of his deal, you know? When he came out of UT, they were thinking, wow, here's a guy that could do 25 and 12 for a decade, and he fell short of that.
Yeah. An NBA executive said he thinks the Portland Trail Blazers could make sense, and he says, would Portland give up Hassan Whiteside plus Zach Collins to get LaMarcus Aldridge back in Portland? And you know that better. Would that work? Mm-hmm. Would Lillard want Aldridge back in Portland?
He might very well, but what they need is defense and rebounding. And LaMarcus can't really do that.
He's more
based on what you've said there. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to move on now to DeMar DeRozan. And they said this is very tough, league executives said, because he has a player option next year at $27.5 million. He's making $27 million this year. He's one of 11 players in the NBA averaging over 20 points and approximately 5 rebounds and 5 assists. So he's there with other players having a really good year. He can't shoot the three-point shot, so he doesn't even attempt them. But he said he's a really good player, but he said the problem is, what do you trade for a guy that can opt out at the end of this year? So if he comes to your team and does well, and then he opts out, and then he's a free agent. So they're saying what would probably have to happen in a DeMar DeRozan trade if he's saying, hey, I'm not going to opt in and I'm not going to talk about an extension. I'm going to play out this trade and see what I want to do at the end of the year. Then the Spurs aren't going to get much for him because teams are like, so we're trading for a guy that we're going to have to fit in February. By the way, league executives are saying the Spurs aren't ready to trade anything right now. They're going to let this play out, get closer to the All-Star break where the trade deadline is, to then make their decision on if they're going to move DeMar DeRozan and Aldridge. But they're saying what could be tough with DeRozan is the player option. If he doesn't want to opt in or sign an extension as part of the trade, then it's going to be almost impossible to trade him and get something for him.
DeRozan doesn't fit here, does he?
I would love to find out if it's not going to cost much. Okay. Can we bring him in here and not have it cost much and not have to be obligated for a long, long term? I want to see that, but I do think
it's... be my sixth man? He can't really shoot the three.
Yeah. He is. I'll tell you, I mean, against the Mavericks, he went for like 40. I can't remember the exact
numbers. Oh, I know.
Numbers.
Like, I love watching him play, but then you look and he's a 28% three-point shooter for his career, and it's like, okay.
Well, what you would do is, at times, with Luka, you would stick Luka on the wing and be like, you can't help off of him, and stick Porzingis on a pick and roll or on another wing and say, you can't help off of him. And then you let DeMar DeRozan go at the top and say, here you go, start, try to stop him one-on-one, and you don't have any help defenders if you have, let's say, Hardaway in one corner. It's going to be very tough. I'm not saying I'd love it, but I'm saying it could work.
You know, I think it's very, very important to have a lot of three-point shooters around Luka, and if you can do that, you can tap into a formulaic formula that might make the Mavs impossible to stop. I talked about this today in my daily debriefing, but you don't have to have all your guys be amazing three-point shooters, right? And I think you could totally put lineups out there that just have four good three-point shooters. And if DeMar DeRozan's going to be the one that can't, I think you're fine with Rick Carlisle. But I don't want to give up a lot of assets to find out about it. So if it's not going to cost a lot, I would be excited about exploring that.
And it does, in both of these articles on Hoops Hype, it does not list the Dallas Mavericks here as teams that could be front runners to trade for either one of these guys. So, Jeff, I think you're right. Is that these aren't really good fits with the Dallas Mavericks, that they would trade for them, but they're probably not going to win the trading war, and then the Mavericks probably wouldn't want to trade a whole bunch just because they're not the perfect fit in what maybe you need to round out this team to take it from. I think now we can say, as long as they don't get hurt, as long as Luka doesn't get hurt, this is a playoff team, and now you're looking for possibly a trade to take you to the next level as a contender in the Western Conference, and neither one of these guys excite me a whole bunch. It does say with the Spurs is that they could trade them back to Toronto and get like a first round pick, Mark Gasol, and maybe like a little bit of a prospect on their team or something, and then have DeRozan go back to Toronto now that Kawhi Leonard is gone, and have the Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Pascal Siakam team try to do something in the Eastern Conference. Also said Orlando could really use him, and there could be some sort of trade there that could work. And they list a few other teams on these deals, but just to give you something for Spurs fans and Mavs fans is league executives are saying the Spurs aren't trading yet, but probably will have to start looking in January to move their pieces.
Okay, we'll do more of that around the NBA at 6:20 and more of that between now and then. Obviously, there is a breaking Mavs news we'll talk about on the other side. Salute to Jonathan Davis, though. $1,000. Boom. In your face, KNC. You get onto 105 through the fan.com/sandlot.
I'll teach you to golf, buddy. Yeah. Whoever you are.
He's a jolly good fellow.
We're swinging for a cause. Okay. Yeah. Jonathan Davis, salute to you at $1,000. If you want to beat that in golf with us, plus you're also going to have other celebrities rolling with us.
Taylor
in
Hearn,
that bay.
Darren Oliver.
Yeah, Taylor Hearn. There's going to be 18 other sports celebrities in the area. You could venture out of our bay and go rub elbows with them, too. You won't be restricted. We're coming back with Mavs breaking news, plus more Jerry audio. What bar does Jason have to hit to keep his job next in the nation?
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.